Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Monday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ, the Life Message, on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, we'll pray with you. If you have any question about the lesson, we do our best in the Lord Jesus to answer for you. If you have any comments, we ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you're calling to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. And for those of you who don't like giving your comments over the air or your questions, contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, I will get back to you. So, glory be to God. Thank God for another blessed day. For those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, you know it's Monday here in the United States at this time, 7 p.m. And you know what that means. That means the angel messenger speaks today, headed off by our brother Eddie Lee. And as we await for our brother to come on, we want to take this opportunity once again to thank the Lord for all of you that have been listening. Glory be to God. And I thank God for strengthening us as he have commissioned us to give this word to all of you that are listening. So all glory, honor, and praise go to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Amen. So we thank God for that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen, people. We thank God. Our Lord Jesus, our Savior, he is God. He is Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And I sense the presence of his spirit now. Glory to God. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for Jesus. And truly indeed, remember, consecrate yourself more unto the Lord. Amen. Because there are going to be greater manifestation of conditions in this nation, home, and church that is going to require a greater faith for us to come through it. So my advice to you is to get things in order, making Jesus the priority, top priority, giving more time to him, because people, that's the only way we're going to make it. From the Lord revealed to me that these changes that is soon about to take place, that it's going to require a greater faith for us to come through it, okay? You know, there's no bones about it, people. No bones about it. And, you know, I know me personally, I want to come through it. Amen. And I want to say, you know, possibly some of you that's listening, you're thinking the same way, okay, that, hey, you know, I want to come through this thing. And so the Lord has let, has revealed the way that we will be able to come through this thing is by the exercising of a greater faith. You know, no bones about it. And I am seeing the things that the Lord had warned about. I see the requirement of why a greater faith is required. Because these conditions, people, are going to come more intense. Now, I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother.
Shalom, my brother. Shalom, my Mishka. Yeshua Mashiach HaMashur, he is Lord. Jesus the Christ, the Holy One of Israel. So we greet Amen. You, and we salute you, and we, again, we're thankful that we're on the top side of the earth. We're from reserve another day. From eternity to eternity, God has ordained this day, and we happen to be not by happen chance to be living alive and preserved in this day, the last generation. Hallelujah. So we are grateful that God is wiser than us, and much wiser. He chose us knowing we were the less, would be less in the earth, but maybe by him working, then things will become greater than what we see. We bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that within us bless his holy name. Who forget not all his many benefits, who healeth all our diseases, to give all our iniquity, and crown us with his loving kindness today. Let the redeemer of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed at the hands of the enemy. We will exalt him for his mighty works and for his name. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. Who has believed our report even this day? So we exalt the Lord Jesus, his resurrection, victory, and blood, and ascension into heaven, and loosing the captive, and coming back again to reclaim his own, the bride. So we are part of the last day plan and purpose of God, and even though we may be little in the eyes of many and insignificant, God often used unanointed, unknown, little people. So I'm part of that little, insignificant people, but I hope to be precious in the sight of Jesus. By the way, brother, how's the weather going? We had a little rain this morning, a little bit. That's about it. And
somewhat pleasant. 70s, low 70s. Kind of a little coolness this morning, but no rain. We had got that somewhat a little bit yesterday and Saturday, and so it's been pleasant.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank God for Jesus and for all the saints around worldwide. My eyes is several weeks been on Venezuela and Brazil and Mexico and the cartel and Turkey and China. Hallelujah. They've been part of bringing all this drugs into the United States. So today we have the opportunity as saints around the world to unitely come together. The Lord desires to turn back, stop and delay the evil that's about to overtake America and the world. We can stand in the gap and make up the hedge and make a difference, or the redeemed in Christ. Hallelujah. So if the redeemed would hear me around the horn and over the ocean, if they would desire to break every barrier, secular, every religious, traditional thing that calls them have disunity, and they are seated in Christ and they are risen in Christ and they believe the second coming of Christ and they're looking to the blood and the resurrection of Christ, then we are brothers. We're jointly joined together and seated together in Christ. Even though we may have little differences in minor things, as long as we major in the major, upon this rock I build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail. And we believe his blood, his death, bear our sins, and resurrection give us hope. Then we are brothers, wherever you may be, in the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. If we were to yearn together, just in every nation, and God could get 700 people believe in every nation, we could turn the evil and turn the tides and bring in a restoration, spiritual revival, and awakening the world has never seen. A Holy Ghost move even greater than the first Pentecost, greater than Azusa Street, greater than Cane Ridge Revival, greater than Evan Roberts Revival, Wales, greater than the Indonesia in the 60s, greater than all the spiritual awakenings. Hallelujah. And this last awakening and outpouring is going to be greater than them all. if he could get a few saints around the world in Christ, in the gospel, to come together and unite their authority and faith to turn the tide of the evil, Satan would be put to a halt. Hallelujah. And the work of darkness in the kingdom of darkness would be shattered, and great things could come. Hallelujah. And marvelous things. And our nations and the world will begin to walk in the light, cover in peace and love in one another. So here's the dilemma. Here is the crisis in a Christian nation, America, the top nation, which I live in. It has turned back from its standard of the Bible, its constitution, its preamble, its Bill of Rights, and the enemy is shattering our faith and hope and our foundation in Christ. And we're losing the favor of God. So America is, I would say, going to the point of no return. Only a remnant, only a small remnant within, holding to the horn of the oak. So this is the day that God has ordained. It seems like to be a same ordinary day, but it's not an ordinary day. This is a day that was ordered from eternity, a brand new day. And brother, we ought to say, wonderful Jesus. As the prophet Isaiah said, wonderful Jesus. We thank you. Wonderful Lord. Wonderful Messiah. Wonderful Jesus, the Lamb of God. Wonderful Jesus, our Lord and our Christ. Wonderful Jesus, our Redeemer, our life giver. Wonderful Jesus, we live today and have our life and have our being in you. And we declare wonderful Jesus, as the prophet said, his name shall be called Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. The world claim is looking for peace, but not the peace of God. They're looking for peace, but not the peace of God. So I'm going to turn my eyes upon the Prince of Peace, the Lamb risen with victory, wonderful Jesus, wonderful Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to meet with my brother, and we join together for the kingdom of God, Christ, with the Elijah message. So we say, thank you, wonderful Jesus. Our children are still with us. We thank you for that. Our loved ones round about are still with us. Wonderful Jesus, wonderful Lord. Our neighborhoods are still standing, not shaken by a whirlwind or earthquake. Wonderful Jesus, wonderful Jesus. Thank you for our right mind and our sound mind. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, brother.
Amen.
Thank God we sharing and talking and giving together. We hope the handmaidens would come on. This is the night that we basically talk about the Elijah message and his what he's coming to do and why he's coming, why the Bible says the Elijah messenger of the covenant, the prudent one, the elect one, the ancient of days, that prophet, the prophet of the highest, that Elijah must come in these last days to bring about the restoration and restitution of all things. So we celebrate that the Lord is faithful in everything and every prophecy that will be fulfilled concerning his second coming. And we're in the age, the kingdom age, the kingdom of Christ about to roll and fill the complete earth. And down, down come the devil's kingdom. So, brother, you want to read from the angel's message, 13. I got old one here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Many people say they want to hear from heaven. So we got a messenger coming from heaven. So if you have a mind to listen, it might do you well. It will do you well.
Amen.
The angel's message.
13 message. Starting at the from the last verse that we had the other day, or we you want to go back to verse
yeah,
one?
Yeah, we're taking it each verse of this angel's message we're going by it verse by verse. We've already went through three of them. Let's go to the four and five.
Okay. 13th message, the fourth verse. First of all, Father, we want to thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity you've given us to give your word to those who are listening far and near. We're grateful, Lord, for the Spirit, and we thank you, Lord, that you are going to open hearts and open minds, and you're going to reveal what thus says the Lord through the mouth of your angel messenger. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 13th message, 4th verse says, churches will unite, and the time will come when there will be only the church of Christ and the church of the devil. So remember, while the good is at work, Satan is there to destroy.
Number five.
Your mind has been troubled over the condition of the church. All these things will come to pass, for the two powers are at work, one to build up the Lord's work, the other to destroy. Satan will darken the minds of the people, for many are filled with selfishness, and their minds are carnal and blinded by the traditions of men. As you stand between the good and the evil, you will have Satan to contend with as he seeks to destroy, and the power of the Lord on the other side to direct you, that you may instruct the people.
Okay. Wisdom from above. Wisdom from above for this present hour. This
Amen.
Present situation. Hello there, sister handmaiden.
Oh, God bless you, brother. Bless you.
Greeting to you, and hello to the husband man. And we're going to get him on here one of these times.
Amen.
We're going to send a... They got drones now. They're sending drones. So, Brother Adam, we have to send a drone over there to your house. And you let okay. Appreciate yourself. All right. In verse, the angel's message and warning and awakening call spoken of in the message 86 and 34. Hallelujah. We're going to find out where we are in the time period of God's working, and the hour of God's prophetic clock, the 12th hour. We're nearing almost the end of the 12th hour, the midnight clock, in God's prophetic time clock.
Yes,
it is a word that we have to take serious, that the messenger, the covenant one, has brought and did bring to Brother W.A. Dre's apostle of the Church of Christ with Elijah message, Independence, Missouri. He was described to receive the word from the angel message. He was chosen and elected. He is what the angel, the Elias for to come, brought. If the nations would hear this, if the people would hear, would Israel would hear, but all
yes,
the Christians would hear, all the sinners would hear.
Mm-hmm.
Here is something that we need to be mindful of this 12th hour. Message 86 and 34. Anyone
message 86,
there?
86
yeah,
and 34. It says, in the late 90s, contention shall again grow worse. The great wars will be so bitter. The great worldly confusion, Armageddon, shall come in, and ere the times of mankind shall be 6,000 years, the millennium shall break forth. Then all that
beloved,
serve Christ shall be...
All that serve Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Shall be one people, delightsome in the Lord, if they obey and trust the very eternal God the Father, who is Jesus Christ, the Savior and Redeemer of mankind.
Okay.
Man,
some more heavenly advice. this word or this event and place, the Armageddon, the last battle before Christ, and Christ comes and end this battle. Now, it starts off in the beginning, but it ends over in the far Middle East in a military battle against the nations of good and evil, the nations who are goats and called the sheep nation. When Satan and all his works shall be broken and Christ come with all of his army, the end of the sixth day, when Christ shall come and put his foot on Mount Olive, as Zechariah says, with all of his army, and all of the most of the redeemed and resurrected ones who fight against the Antichrist nations and over there near Jerusalem. Now, we're nearing that time. The messenger says Armageddon is a worldly confusion, and it ends in the most colossal battle on the earth there's ever been, evil against good, when Jesus Christ shall come and intervene and stop it. If he doesn't end it, there will be no flesh saved, no human lives spared. In this battle, 1/6 of the men will be left in battle. The horse's bridle. The blood will be up to the horse's bridle, Isaiah said it to him. It would be blood up to the horse's bridle in that battle. Now, how and what are the saints going to be doing? Where are they going to be during this time of the end time last conflict? Where shall the saints be? Now, many have thought that the saints will be in heaven, the raptured church, and that they will not be here. Well, the angel messengers, he says different. And the Bible says different. And Jesus says different. And the prophets in the Bible said they're different. So, apparently someone has got the timetable wrong and the events out of order. But the angel messenger comes to restore all truth and proper understanding of all prophecy. And so, he tells us, in confirmation to what the Bible says, there will be no escape by a rapture. So where would the saints be? Well, how would they be delivered, preserved during this time, this worldly confusion that's upon the earth? Now, worldly confusion. Now, he called it a worldly confusion that leads, first of all, in the 80s, to the 90s, we had all these continuous war, Iraq, Iran, and all of these continuous conflicts, Clinton, all the way down to Bush, and all the way through, we had these over from Vietnam and Thailand and all the way to Iraq and Iran and 9/11. Those were conflicts that's leading up to the final. And he says, the messenger says, they call it a worldly confusion. Now, I want you to see today in 2022 where we're at. I want you to discern this worldly confusion Armageddon. A note I read, I wrote this down this morning as I woke up. And usually I always, in the morning time, I'll write. That's when I write, like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, or something like that. Well, y'all, y'all be calling the hogs and the camels, Brother Nate. Y'all be calling all everything. I'll be up. I'll wake up, and I'll be given to write certain stuff. Now, one thing I want to get straight: we see a lot of people today calling themselves apostles and prophets and all that. All I'm going to say, I am just a disciple of Christ and a brother in the Lord. That's good enough for me. I don't need no glory coming from the source. But the Lord said, be thou faithful, thou good and faithful servant. That's all I want to be. All right. Aubrey Catches, Worldly Confusion. Now, if you got your notebook, I'll let you get a notebook and write this down if you choose to, because you may want to study it more deeply and then share it with other people as you're led of the Holy Spirit. By the way, we invite the Holy Spirit to take over tonight. We yield to the Holy Spirit of truth, and you might reach into the nations with this word. Now, this worldly confusion, as we look today, and being in America, we are most privileged and blessed to be in this nation at this time. America is turning its back on God and its biblical principles, turning its back on Jesus, and we're going to understand what is the center of this world confusion that has engulfed America and the world. Since America was the top nation in the world, the top Christian nation, Bible nation, the most choice, bounty, blessed nation at one time, who is now fading, declining, and turning its back on its foundations of its fathers, and who Jesus founded this nation for the one purpose to lift up Jesus and lift up the gospel. That was the primary purpose, that all nations could come here, and it would be favored, the most favored nation in the end time. Now, Jerusalem and the Jews at one time in the beginning was, but we are the new Jerusalem. The old Jerusalem and its church and its ways, but we are the new Jerusalem, not the one spoken in Revelation 22. I'm not talking about the golden city. I'm talking about America is the type of the new Jerusalem, the old Jerusalem. The Jewish Jerusalem faded away, and they were scattered.
Uh-huh.
Number one, what is the world of confusion? I'm going to write this down. Government in the government, in our government. Number two, in religion and its morality and its platform. Number three, in education. Number four, entertainment. Number five, confusion. In the original family structure. And number six, confusion in gender. Number seven, confusion about protection of our nation in immigration and border protection. Number eight, climate change. Number eight, earth overpopulated. Number nine, in race and culture, confusion among the races, in culture, confusion. Confusion includes the nations who are considered our enemy to our democracy. What nations are these who are enemies to a Christian standard nation, America? Russia, China, North Korea, Islam radical, terrorists. Now, whether that leads to set up a world government and a world religion. Number 10, Christianity is going to be assimilated, is to be assimilated into the world religion. The papacy, the pope is the head, and the false prophet who's to lead people into this false religion. Number 19. Why was the coronavirus released to cause confusion and control and fear? fear and population control, banking confusion with the finance when the banking around the world is going to collapse soon. Confusion in finance will come. 20, United States and its waterways so polluted, the water, the air, and the food polluted. Confusion about this. Now, here's what's going to lead to it. America is going to be military invaded. America is going to be military invaded by its known enemies. That will happen. The last part, we're about to see the greatest Holy Ghost revival that the world has ever seen. The move of the Holy Spirit to counteract and delay and hinder Satan and usher millions of souls into the kingdom. This move of the Holy Spirit is going to be greater than any move ever been. It's called the mighty Shekinah glory, Shekinah glory. And it's going to be greater than just having the Spirit of God or have the anointing of God or have the presence of God. It's going to be called the glory of God, the Shekinah glory. Hallelujah. Shekinah glory. All right. Have anyone got that down?
Most of it.
I don't know. I was putting it slow. Everybody could have got it in. I was writing for it. Uh-huh. I was kind of slow.
Oh, sir, the numbers.
Pardon me?
I go back and get mine. I go back and listen and get mine. I'm just getting home.
Oh, you just got home. Well,
I was listening as I was coming on, but I can go back and listen to it and get it.
Okay, then. All right. Mm-hmm. All good. Okay. You got a chance to meditate, look, and do some searching about what is this world confusion and what is it going to lead to? What's going to be the final capital of where this worldly confusion is leading us to? Now, the last part of it is telling us that the Lord has planned an answer and a solution for all those that have pressed their way to the kingdom of God and come unto him. And this is going to show the whole nation of the world who the Lord God is, because Jesus and his people and the Christ, his people are going to stand in the glory of God when all of this is happening on the earth. And they're going to be a light to the world and nation, and the evil, the wicked, the judges that fill the earth is not going to cause them to be in fear and worry or anxiety. And they're going to be standing in a holy place, and the glory of God shall be upon them. I said, the great glory shall be upon them. You remember when Moses went into the mount and the glory of God was there so much? That when Moses came back out of the mountain with the presence of the Most High and the glory of God, that when he come back down from the mountain to meet the people, they could not hardly look upon him because of the glory. So everybody look for the glory that was on him. Said the glory.
Okay. Glory.
The glory.
The glory.
The glory cloud, the glory of God's Shekinah glory, was so great that they couldn't, he had to put a veil over his face. Moses had covered his face with a veil.
The kind of glory. Yes, Lord.
When he stood 40 days and 40 nights in that glory, it was like, let me give you what it's lacking unto. Turn to Mark 9 and 7. Mark 9 and 7. Gospel of Mark 9 and 7.
Amen.
Whoever get it first.
And there was a cloud.
There was a cloud that overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son, hear him."
Go to verse 6 first.
"For he wist not what to say, for they were so afraid."
Go to verse 5.
"And Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses."
Well, I tell you, we got to get a clear picture of this. Go to verse 1, 9 and 1, and come down to verse, come all the way down.
"And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which should not taste death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus taking with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceedingly white as snow, so as no fuller of earth can whiten them. And there appeared unto them Elijah and Moses, and they was talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But he wist not what to say, for they were so afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved son, hear him. And certainly when they had looked,
hear ye him. They wanted to build three churches, three synagogues.
Amen.
Three religions. Different religions.
Mm-hmm.
One for Moses, one for Elijah, one for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what men are. And so they come up, but they didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
The voice from heaven, the Father came and said, This is my beloved son, hear him.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the world has got these different religions and different ideas. And some of them are good people with good thoughts. But they understand the vision that everything has to be founded on this one thing, this one person, this one revelation. This is my beloved son.
This is my beloved son.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
You got faith in that. Amen.
Him.
Yeah.
Now, Moses and Elijah, they're prophets. And you know, people go off and they establish stuff in many, many avenues, meaning good.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last days, Moses and Elijah, this prophetic vision is going to be fulfilled in the last messenger that's going to point people back to that vision to be built upon the rock. Upon this is my beloved son, hear him and his teaching. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We come down from the mount. They saw the coast. They experienced it.
Yeah.
They were so afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the kind of glory that Moses walked off into, no man really hadn't walked over into that until that day in Israel. Moses was chosen as a type of the Christ,
mm-hmm.
a prophet. Now, he was a figure and a type of Christ to come. But Christ is the only one, the Messiah is the only one to be worshipped. But this is
mm-hmm.
my beloved son. You could tell the world with all of their visions or whatever, if it don't lead to this, you can discern where it come from.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now,
okay.
Where's all this confusion? Well, we're going to start at the first one where it said Armageddon is a world of confusion. Armageddon has already begun. Now, you ask, mm-hmm. ask the person, do you not know that Armageddon, what it really means in its fullness, what it means? It has already begun, and hardly anyone knows that it's already begun.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Not even the greatest scholars, men of God, women of God. Very few of them have a glimpse knowing that Armageddon has already begun. The world of confusion has engulfed us. Now let's see how we can break through. The word Elijah must come and restore all things, or bring about the restitution and refining of all things, purifying, is very important. Worldly confusion. Let's start at one today. The government. The United States government. All right, who want to speak about why we have to start at the thing that govern us in this earth? And they have the highest authority in this earth realm, the federal government, because they legislate and make the law the legislative
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
for our lives.
Yeah.
If they pass a law, yeah. you're going to have to obey or suffer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah.
Worldly confusion. Who want to talk about how the government, United States government, is now almost engulfed in worldly confusion? Anyone? Round table mm. tonight? We start at
okay.
number one. Yeah, anyone?
Okay, the government. First of all, as you were speaking earlier about gathering together, I know the word says that, you know, we need to rejoice to stand together. And to do that, in doing and break the man over the government, because that is where all of the law goes out. And the government set in place all this confusion that's going on, abortion, because they set in the law, and the United Kingdoms has started with sex marriage. This false religion, the uniting of evil, because all of this is in the government, is in the government. So drugs and perversion and this racialism and socialism and communism, it's all starting in the government, because the devil is setting up people in high places. And that's where all of the confusion is starting.
Yeah.
Because they can think into law.
Okay. Thank you, number one. Thank you for enlightening us. Worldly confusion starting at the top place, the United States government, and moves on down to state governments and city governments, principalities. And
yep.
all right, anyone else would like to share where the worldly confusion starts at? Hello, anyone out there?
Okay. I would like to say this one thing that a lot of people, when I mention it, that people not a lot of people never notice it, is when the President Biden, when they was when he was accepting the oath as the president, that he wanted to lay his hands on. He said it was his family, and they brought this book out there, a locked box, and they never took this book out the box, but they just opened the lid on it and confirmed him in by his hand laying on whatever book was in the box. He said it was his family Bible, and he is Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay. All right. Anyone to add to that? Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Brother Nate, you're going to have to... Hello. Okay, brother, go ahead.
Well, exactly just like the sister was saying, the government in its passing of the laws that they have went to the degree and extreme of even speaking against the gathering, you know, when they put things in what they call essential and non-essential. When they was talking about even coming to worship the Lord 2 years ago during the time of the when the virus rose here, and that was put into the category of non-essential. So I think the confusion too is where the government is passing their judgment on what they're going to an extra mile, if I say, to call their witches and to be important, not important, especially when it comes to the things of God.
Amen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like
Brother Nathaniel was saying concerning the president, you know, that he even was saying that, you know, that when he was running for president and how he promised that group of Hispanic people that if, you know, like if they voted for him, that he was going to make sure that their religion be taught in all the schools, you know, mm-hmm. that it is. And you can see that already the different types of religion, the different types of sexuals, and they want the children to embrace them, you know. You know, even, you know we're supposed to love the people, but they want them to embrace, you know, the sin part of you know, of what they're doing. And so they pass in that because if you don't, then they consider it, you know, as a hate crime.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Amen.
Okay, thank you. That's true. Now, anyone else have one on this? The confusion that starts with our top government, the federal government?
They trying to, you know, like take the people's, you know, like their rights from them, you know, just like when the coronavirus came, you know, 2 years ago, and you know, like in the government, made some kind of little law that if the people did not take that coronavirus shot, that they wouldn't have a job. And so a lot of people, they had the one that wouldn't take it, they had to quit their jobs, you know, either they got fired and so on. And what it's doing is trying to, it's a bigger picture of like coming forth like of the mark of the beast. And then, you know, that it, you know, if you don't take this mark in your hand or your forehead, that you won't be able to eat or buy or sell. And so what they was, you know, trying to do is like, you know, God get the people in a position that, you know, when the thing, you know, come, you know, like you have to choose, you know, and whether I'm going to eat or, you know, pay my bills or do whatever. You know, because the government is saying that, you know, we have to do this. And so that's a time when we really have to, you know, trust the Lord, because the time coming that it gonna you know, cost a lot of, you know, some people their lives and their homes and everything. You know, that's one reason that, you know, he was, you know, the government trying to do.
Okay. So.
Okay.
How is, what is your responsibility as a citizen, and what is your responsibility as a Christian citizenship, a Bible-believing Christian?
Okay, I think I'm responsible.
Whoever for you to vote, or who you would vote to put in office, how is that going to affect your lives on this earth?
Go ahead, sister. They got like the voting. And they got like, are you a Democrat, are you a Republican, and what they have done, they use this to divide and separate the Christian people, because you have some in the same denomination, the same church, and this one over here, they say I'm a Democrat, this one say I'm a Republican. And so when somebody asks me, are you a Democrat, are you a Republican? I tell them no. I said I'm a Christian, and I said that. I said God, whatever God leads me, if He leads me to vote for Republican or vote for Democrat, I said I'm gonna vote for those things that are according to that Scripture. If anything that you're going against the Scripture, against the Word of God, I don't vote for them, because when I vote for them, I'm saying that I'm going along with them. Anything they try to do. And so that's what I say. And that's where I stand, like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Also, this One World, this government is trying to bring everybody under church and government under the same rules, and bring under One World Order. And this is coming in. It's like so much fighting going on. And you find now that a lot of the Republicans, they are changing. They want to be Democrats now. But see, the thing of it is, you got to change your ways. You got to change your heart. It doesn't matter whether you change from Democrat, from Republican to a Democrat or not. But they are also bringing in... you know, besides the Republican and Democrats, they're bringing in now, you don't have to be on the Republican or the Democrat.
Okay. Now, most people don't understand the Lord God ordained government on the earth.
Amen.
Wow, good.
Mm-hmm.
So our civil and social, educational,
that
we may have peace and tranquility.
Amen.
The Lord ordained and raised up the most righteous government and the righteous law in the earth, and it was called the United States Constitution.
Amen.
Democracy, this republic. And it was to be an example to the world.
Yeah.
It was based on biblical principles and inspired, and our Constitution Bill of Rights and preamble was not like any other because it's based upon biblical truth and righteousness, even though they haven't fulfilled that yet. They haven't been able to fulfill that.
Got about 5 minutes, brother.
Well, I got 5 minutes? Okay. Now, most people don't know why it is necessary who you put in power.
Yeah.
And they think because they are Christian, they don't need to exercise their right as citizens to who rules over you.
And that's right.
Now, prayer plays an important part, but just to take the place of you exercising your thought about whether you're going to allow evil to be put in office to change laws and rules.
Mm-hmm.
Because whoever you put in the government is going to affect you, not as a citizen, but going to affect you as a Christian.
Amen.
Many Christians don't understand that. That's why when wicked kings rule, Israel moans.
Yeah.
They had to get the wicked kings out of there if they wanted to have peace, right?
Yeah.
When those wicked, unrighteous, monarchic kings in Israel were wicked and tyrants and cruel, my God, they had put all kind of laws. But when a righteous king was put in,
yeah, it
doesn't matter who ruled, who reigned. Well, you're going to understand how that's going to affect your life as a Christian. When the government is making these ungodly, unchristian, unprincipled rules that's going to affect your life as a Christian and a citizen.
Amen.
They're bringing in all kind of confusion.
Amen.
In our United States government is in mass confusion now. The legislators who make the law. Confusion in the judicial part. In the White House, in the government, president, and the parties are fighting like dogs going, I don't know if they're going mad or not. But it's about who shall rule. Who shall rule?
Yeah.
Evil rules to men on the earth that he put in office. And in power.
Amen.
So as we close, how is the government in fact now infatuated with evil and making rules and laws that are so ungodly? We'll talk further about this worldly confusion. It starts with our government.
Amen.
So now, what can we do as the believers? What can we do? What is God called the Christian church to do? Okay. What power is given to the Christian church? What authority is given them? We'll talk about that, I guess, next Saturday, Sunday, Monday. The Lord bless you all. I hope Anabrosha. Let's lift up our hands to Jesus. Where you have a nation that's in confusion with tyrants and corrupt rulers like Putin, Jim Jong, or whatever his name in Korea, and communist China, whether it's in Islam, wherever a wicked rule, there's a way and a means the Lord has given us to overturn that.
Amen.
Now, Lord, Jesus, that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Christ come forth with dominion and power. Because we represent the kingdom of our Lord and Christ, and he is the kingdom of God is to fill the earth, and we pray that thy kingdom come, thy will be done, because you commanded us to take it and have dominion in every place to pull down every stronghold of the devil. Now we have been given this rod of authority to help us to learn how to use it, because the evil is about to overtake us in Jesus' name. Now everyone who call upon the name of the Lord today and say, Lord, I need you. I need redemption, salvation, forgiveness. Help Lord Jesus dwell in my life, change my life, make me new, wash my sins away, deliver me from oppression and fear. He will do it. And we ask you to call upon that one and only name in faith.
Yes, Lord.
Well, yes, Lord.
Lord, bless you all. Till we see you next time, Brother Lee and Brother Nathaniel Hunt. We thank our God for our brother.
Amen.
And be with him. All right, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for all you've been listening. Glory be to God. We thank God for this opportunity to give the word to you guys. And once again, tomorrow we'll have another broadcast. Look for the advertisement on tomorrow. So once again, as for Brother Lee, this is Brother Nate, Sister Anderson, Sister Tig, and Sister Dickens. We love you all. God bless you and God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen.
God bless.
Amen.